I must say that over the course of the last 2 or 3 months, I have been so excited for tonight, just because I knew what I was going to be sharing back at the beginning of the summer. I knew what I was going to be sharing. It's so pertinent to most of our lives. You say, well, this series available is primarily for singles, isn't it? Well, yes and no. Because the principles that we're going to look at tonight and the next 2 weeks following for this series really have to do with all of our lives. But it's a great passage relating to singles. You know, you talk to people that are single. I've got friends that at all different ages that are not married or not dating anyone at the present moment. And it's amazing at the unique challenges and the unique opportunities that present themselves to singles. I'm going to look at a passage of Scripture tonight that probably wouldn't ordinarily be applied to singles, but at the same time, as I studied this passage several months ago, immediately God spoke to me and showed me that there's some very key things here that have to do with our relationships, not only to Him, but also to one another. This is not a dating series. So let me just go ahead and tag this. This is not a how to get a date, how to date, and the way you should or shouldn't date, and all the rules that apply. This is none of that. Well, you lied to Taylor. Taylor, you were deceived. But I'm glad you're here nonetheless. And I believe you had a divine appointment, whether you knew it or not, that God desired you to be here. And I truly believe that those that are here tonight are here because God, in His sovereignty, before we were ever born, intended for us to be here and gather together, and that we would be looking at this passage of Scripture tonight. I'm going to just begin to read the passage. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 24. You say, Old Testament? Dealing with dating or singles or whatever? Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I dare say, without question, there is more principles to be learned in the Old Testament for singles and for relationships than in all the New Testament, because there's so many examples that are given in the Old Testament about relationships and about people's relationship to one another. I want to begin reading in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. If you don't have your Bible, it will be up here on the screen. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, listen to it. It says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years. And there's no implication to anybody who's single, to anybody who's single and maybe feels that way. just moving right along, old and well advanced in years. And the Lord had, listen to this, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Man, you could preach a whole sermon on that right there. The Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant, and by the way, let me just go on and say, we're going to have a good time tonight. This is going to be fun. That's one of the reasons I've looked so forward to these 3 weeks, is because we're going to have so much fun with this passage. Because there's so much good stuff in here, but a lot of it you have to kind of keep in mind in context, and it is kind of lighthearted in some ways. Very serious nature, but at the same time, when you read this passage in chapter 24, it's just incredible. So let me pick back up. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I'm just not going to touch that. I want you to swear by the Lord, listen to this, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household in my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master, Abraham, and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. One of the key truths, one of the key elements for us, not only as individuals, but really as if you're single, even if you're dating someone, even if you're currently in a relationship, this is true. One of the key aspects in a relationship and in your singleness is this issue of trust. It's amazing. You can see this picture, the trust department. I thought to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could pull into a bank or pull into a store, walk into the trust department, get yourself a whole truckload of trust to carry you through your life? Wouldn't that be great? I actually took this picture. This is the trust department, as you can imagine, has to deal with banking, and it's in a little bank, small town bank in Stuttgart, Arkansas. And several months ago, I was studying for this series, I drove by and I glanced over, and I was thinking about this issue of trust, our issue of trusting God with our singleness, trusting God with our relationships, trusting God with our life, and I glanced over and saw trust department. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could go to Walmart, not only the shopping buggy, but go get one of those like big carts, you know, they carry the big screens, TVs out on. Go get one of those carts, just empty the shelves of trust on it, purchase it, go out the door, and have trust for the rest of your life. Have enough trust in God to carry you through everything you deal with in life. That would be wonderful. But the truth of the matter is that the question of trust raises doubts in our minds. The question of trust raises doubts in our minds because we all, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're dating, we all struggle with this question of trust. Listen to verse 5. Now, let me give you a little context behind this. You say, now, how does this have to deal with anything with singles? Well, it's pretty simple. Isaac was single. Enough said. I don't need to explain that. Isaac, Abraham's son, was single. Abraham recognized he was getting old. Isaac's mom had already passed away. Sarah was dead. Abraham was old. God had blessed him, but he still understood that this chosen son, this covenant son, this promised son, Isaac, was still single. So Abraham, as would be the custom of that time, was in the active process of kind of managing that situation. I mean, it was not uncommon in that time. It's different today, but in a lot of societies, you already see, you know, this issue of arranged marriages and things. But in Abraham's mind, it was imperative for his son Isaac he was concerned about the type of woman that his son would marry and have a relationship with and have a family with. So the question of trust came up. So what he did was he got his chief servant. He took his servant who was over all of his household. He was basically like his manager. You know, if you owned a company, you're the owner, but then you have a general manager that manages that company for you. In the same respect, Abraham, this chief servant, was his manager over all that he had. He got him to come in. He said, stick your hand under my thigh and make an oath. And that was just kind of like an oath. That was almost like a handshake, so to speak. It was that promise, you know, you're putting your word and your oath out there that you're going to do this. Listen again to what he says. And it's not up on screen. I just want to read through it real quick. He told him, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to, listen to this. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living. Why was that? Because Abraham knew those Canaanites would poison his son's future. He understood that those people, and I'm going to get in more into that next week and the following, but just to suffice to say that he says, look, I want you to go to my country, my own relatives, and get a wife for my son Isaac. So you can kind of see the picture here. Go back to our people and get a wife for my son Isaac. So he asked him to do this, but you knew what happened? Did you see what the servant did? Listen to verse 5. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Those are two words that exist in our mind and our heart all the time. It's the question of trust towards God. What if? The servant has only just now been given the orders. He has only just now been given the instructions to do this, and he is already questioning the validity. He is already questioning the potential for this to take place. He's already formulating in his mind and doubting and questioning that this was going to happen. He says, "What if?" And that question of doubt comes into our minds, especially when you're single and you have in your mind that you want a relationship, you have in your mind that you want to meet somebody, you have in your heart and in your mind that you desire to pursue a relationship. You want to find somebody. You know, you say, "Well, I'm not ready right now, but I know eventually I will." The first thing that comes to mind is the question of trust. Do I really trust God? Listen to this. Secretly, we don't trust God with our singleness. Deep down inside, if we were honest with ourselves, if we were honest before God, we would have to say we really don't trust God with our singleness. We don't trust God with this issue. I'm thinking God has got all of these stars and all of these galaxies and all of these universes solar systems and all of these galaxies to manage. And he has all of the intricate details of everyone's life to be concerned with. Why would he be so concerned about me having somebody to fall in love with, about me having somebody just for my life? And secretly, we don't trust God, and it raises a question of doubt and a question of trust in our mind. And that's the question that trust raises in our mind. It's already a question, it's already a doubt in this servant's mind. For Isaac's future, for Isaac's singleness, there's already a question of trust. But here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only the question of trust, but I want you to see the enemy of trust. The enemy of trust produces fear in our hearts. You see, here's the deal. What happens first is we begin to question. We begin to doubt. And as soon as we begin to question and we begin to doubt, do you know what happens next? Then we're going, "Oh my gosh, what in the world is going to happen?" We begin to have fear. We begin to play all of the possible scenarios in our mind. If God's not really concerned, if I begin to question and trusting God, I begin to doubt God, then guess what happens? I begin to be afraid. Then what's going to take place in my life? And that's the enemy of trust. And let me show you what the enemy of trust is. The enemy of trust is fear. Listen to verse 5 again. Listen to what he says. He says, "Shall I take your son back to the country you came from?" You see, the servant of Abraham, the chief servant, has not only begun to doubt, he has not only begun to question, but he has already in his mind come up with a possible solution to it. I mean, already in his mind, he's begun to play the scenarios out. Okay, he wants me to go back and get a woman from a country, you know, from his own relatives, and go back to his country and back to his people and bring someone. That's stretching it. That's a little bit scary. That's a little bit weird. That's a little bit different. You know, I can kind of understand he wants somebody from their own tribe, their own family and stuff for his son. In other words, they want to keep this family secure and pure and everything. But man, you know, I better come up with a solution because I doubt this is going to happen. You know what? In our singleness, we do the exact same thing. The first thing is we begin to really question and begin to doubt God. Secretly, we don't really trust him with that singleness. Well, that doubt and that questioning produces fear. And what do? We start coming up with possible solutions. Well, God's not so concerned about this. He's not so concerned about my singleness, and so I better be. God doesn't necessarily have a plan for this, so I better come up with one. And I'm really going to jump into this hard next week. But this enemy of trust is fear. The enemy of trust is fear. Listen to Romans 14:23. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Substitute trust, because that's what faith is, isn't it? You had faith when you sat down in that chair tonight. Now, you may not have gone through your mind and said, you know what? It's made out of steel. That plastic's pretty thick. I'm fairly certain it'll hold me. And now, what did you do? You just went and sat down. Because you trusted, you had faith that this chair would hold you. Trust and faith are virtually the same thing. And the enemy of that faith, the enemy of that trust is fear. And Romans 14, 23 says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. In other words, if I don't trust God, if I don't have faith in God for my singleness, for where I am in my life right now, it's sin. I'm going to take it a step further. Listen to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God is not the source of that fear. We begin to question and doubt God. And as soon as we begin to question and doubt God, it's only one step down to where we begin to fear the consequences or fear what God might or might not do. Because we don't trust God with our singleness, now we're fearful about what will happen to us. Am I just going to be like old and single for the rest of my life? There's three fears that singles deal with. I want to give them to you tonight. First of all, and it's not just singles, it's all of us. In whatever relationship or non-relationship you're in right now, it's the same three fears. First is the original fear. You say, what's the original fear? The original fear is God is going to keep something from me. That's the original fear. You say, why is it original? Because it goes all the way back to the creation. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Listen to Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. You will recognize the story. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. Listen to verse 5 very closely. For God, this is Satan talking to Eve. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You say, what is that? That's the original fear. That God is going to keep something from me. Satan told Eve, he says, God is holding out on you. God is keeping something back that would be good for you. God is not giving you everything, has he? God did not allow everything for you, did he? God knows that if you eat of this fruit, that your eyes will be open. In other words, Eve, you will have something that God is holding out on you. Satan caused Eve to mistrust and caused Adam to mistrust the goodness of God. And that's the original fear. And it is especially true with singles. The original fear is that if I don't approach my singleness, if I don't take a good control of my singleness, that God is going to hold something out for me. That God is going to keep me from something. God is going to withhold something that I would like or be beneficial to me. That's the original fear. It's the original fear for all of us, but like I said, it's especially true for somebody who's single. We're sitting back and we're going, there's nobody really on the radar. There's nobody really interesting on the horizon. There's no one I'm looking around me. And somehow I believe in my heart. I begin to doubt God. I begin to question God. Now this fear arises. And that fear is the enemy of trust. It is the enemy of me trusting God with my singleness. And suddenly the original fear kicks in. God's holding out on me. That's what it is. How dare he? God's holding out on me. And that's the original fear. You have, first of all, the original fear. Next, we have the secret fear. This is the one that most singles They know it without a question in their heart. It's true, but they would never, ever, ever dare admit it. You know what the secret fear is? God will want me to marry someone I won't like. If I trust God with my singleness, He'll hook me up with somebody that is boring, somebody that is ugly, somebody that I won't be attracted to. God will want me to marry someone I won't like if I don't trust God. I mean, if I trust God. If I really say in my heart, God, whoever it is, lead me to Him. In the back of our mind, we'd never, ever admit it. But we're going, don't let them be ugly. Don't let them be boring. Don't let them be dorky. Don't let them be geeky. Don't let them be too tall, too short, too... I mean, we have this list of qualifications in our mind because here it is. The secret fear is that we believe that God will want us to be with someone we won't like. It might be someone even like this.
About the DJ, generally I have a firm no dancing policy, but if she asks, you cannot say no.
Dancing is the one thing I'm not worried about. But if there are people there and I get worried, stand and
I hate to be a stickler, but I need to be thorough. Can you, show me what you mean by you're not worried about it.
Trust me.
Peace up. Peace up. Town, yeah.
That's what it's all about right there. Yeah. See how it gets bigger? I'm gonna start the fire, but the feet are going. I start the fire, I make the pizza. Hips are always going. Kicking up hips. From there, the Q-tip. Q-tip. Throw it away. Mm-hmm. That's not working. You hit it with this.
Don't ever do that again. Do you hear me?
Just expressing myself.
No. Mm-mm. Not like that, you're not. All right? She got heavy. She had me. This is where you live. Right here. You live right here. Okay? This is home. None of this. I don't want to see none of that.
I don't need no pizza. They got food there.
Our secret fear is God will want to hook me up with somebody I'm not going to be interested in. God's got somebody for me, but I'm not sure. I'm just not so sure it's who I would pick out for myself. And that's the secret fear of singles, isn't it? I mean, and you don't have to admit to it because I know you don't want to, but you're afraid that God's going to hook you up with somebody that you're not going to be attracted to, that you're not going to like, that somehow you're not going to be satisfied with. Boom. That's the enemy of trust. That secret fear. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. Do me a favor, close your eyes. I want you to think about this. Here's the title. Marital Enjoyment and Sexual Pleasure. Brought to you by the Creator of Romantic Sunsets. Brought to you by the Creator of A Baby's Laughter. Brought to you by the Creator of Second Grade Crushes. Brought to you by Angelina Jolie's Eyes. I would have said lips, but I don't think they're real. But think about it for just a moment. If God was the creator of something as beautiful as marriage, as something incredible as the sexual pleasure that He created a man and a woman to enjoy inside of a relationship, inside of marriage, do you not think He can bring somebody into your life that will bring you great joy and that you will enjoy spending your life with? That's the secret fear. Let me get the last one, the social fear. The social fear is this. God will want me to be single. That's the fear. God wants me to just stay single from now on until the end of time and beyond. And There's no one. And that's the social fear. You know, there's all this pressure on singles, isn't there? You know, as long as you're like 20, 22, 23, it's not that big a deal. You start hitting about mid-stride, mid-20s, late 20s, 30s, and you're still single, then it becomes almost like this social disease or something. I mean, seriously, everybody's got, you know, they look at you and they think because you're single at that age, there must be something wrong. There's a reason why. There must be something wrong with them. I mean, that's the stigma that's about being single for too long. But that's the social fear, is that God will want me to be single. Don't answer this out loud. Ask this in your heart. Do you really, really want to meet someone and to be married? Then let me let you off the hook. If God has put that deep desire within you, and I'm not saying it's a superficial desire that, you know, you just kind of, you know, worried about what people think because you're single. I mean, do you deeply desire to be married? Then I dare say that God most likely put that desire there. Listen to Matthew chapter 7. Let me just read a few verses. This is Jesus speaking, talking about this issue of trust, and he's actually referring to in the sense of prayer and praying and desiring. And he's talking to the religious leaders, and he said, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" Listen to Jesus. He says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Do you truly desire to be married? Do you truly desire that relationship? Social fear is God will want me to be single. If you truly, deeply, that's the desire of your life, then I dare say God probably put that desire there. And he intends to fulfill that desire in his good timing. That's the social fear, though. But the enemy of trust is fear. But now I want us to finish with this. How do we rebuild that? How do we regain that trust? The foundation of trust, listen to this, reminds us of God's personal concern for our lives. What we build our trust on, the foundation that our trust in God is on, is he is personally concerned for our lives. You say, what are you talking about? Back in Genesis 24, in our story about Abraham and his servant and sending his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac, listen to what Abraham, when the chief servant said, "What if she won't come back with me? Shall I take your son back to your country?" Listen to Abraham's response, because I'm telling you, this just leaps off at the pages at us. Listen to verse 6 and following. This is Abraham's response. He says, "Make sure that you do not take my son back there." Abraham said, "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there." Wow. Did you catch that? What did Abraham respond to his servant with when his servant doubted and questioned that God wanted to do this? Abraham's response was, "The God who's called me out of my land, the God who spoke to me, the God who promised me on oath and said, 'I will give this land to you and to your offspring,' he will send his angel before you. He will make your journey prosperous. He will go before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there." Did you catch that? He equated, listen to this, he equated the promises of God about his future and about his destiny with being able to trust God with the singleness of his son Isaac. Let me say that again. His response had to do with God's promise to him. God's promise for Abraham was, listen, Abraham, you follow me. You go to a land I will show you. I will give it to you. I will give it to your offspring forever. I will bless you. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. I will give you a future. I will give you a plan. I will give you a destiny that you would not have otherwise. Abraham was trusting God. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God on that promise, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham trusted God with his future destiny. I hope you're following me here. Abraham trusted God with his future. Abraham trusted God with his eternal destiny. Abraham trusted God with his promise of his future, his destiny, and his plan for his life. And because of that, he equated that with being able to trust God with a wife for his son Isaac. If you know Christ, if you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you are trusting God for your future. You are trusting God's promise that He has forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. He has given you a home in heaven. He has given you a personal, intimate relationship with God. He has set your feet on a rock. He took you out of the miry clay. He has given you a promise. He has given you a future. He has given you a destiny. And because you are trusting God for that, you can also trust God with your singleness. Isn't that beautiful? Abraham saw, he was reminded of the promise of God. God promised all my destiny, my future is all laid out. If I can trust Him with all of that and I'm believing Him for it, why can I not trust Him to get a wife for my son Isaac when I send my servant under God's command? And that question is for us too. In your singleness, if you're trusting, you know Christ, you're trusting with your eternal destiny. Let me remind you of something. If you're wrong, and He's not trustworthy, then your soul lingers over hell. So think about the consequences of not trusting. But because you're trusting God with your eternal destiny, with your future, and with His plan, why can we not trust Him in our singleness? Why do we feel like we have to manipulate and we have to take control and we have to press and push the issue and do something ourselves? Can we not trust God with our singleness? That raises a question. Doesn't this trust go beyond our singleness? Absolutely. This trust, built on the foundation of God's promise and His future destiny and His future plan for our life, goes far beyond the issue of us just being single. Far beyond. It goes at the very core and the very heart of a relationship with Him, doesn't it? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It's that trust, that faith in Jesus Christ that gives us a relationship with Him. And this issue of trust has to be settled in our singleness, but in our life beyond.